Lefortier was a member of the Senior Council, seven of the oldest and most capable wizards on the planet, the ones who ran the White Council and commanded the wardens. He was, had been, skinny, bald, and a sanctimonious jerk. I'd been wearing a hood at the time, so I couldn't be certain, but I suspected that his voice had been the first of the Senior Council to vote guilty at my trial and had argued against clemency for my crimes. He was a hard-line supporter of the Merlin, the head of the council, who had been dead set against me. All in all, a swell guy. But he'd also been one of the best protected wizards in the world. All the members of the Senior Council were not only dangerous in their own rights, but protected by details of wardens to boot. Attempted assassinations had been semi-regular events during the war with the vampires, and the wardens had become very, very good at keeping the Senior Council safe. I did some math from there. It was an inside job, I said quietly, like the one that killed Simon at Archangel. Morgan nodded. And they blamed you? Morgan nodded and took the thermometer out of his mouth. He glanced at it and then passed it to me. I looked, 99 and change. I met his eyes and said, did you do it?
No.
I grunted. I believed him.
Why'd they finger you?
Because they found me standing over Lafortier's body with the murder weapon in my hand, he replied. They also turned up a newly created account in my name with several $1 million in it and phone records that showed I was in regular contact with a known operative of the Red Court. I arched an eyebrow.
Gosh, that was irrational of them to jump to that conclusion. Morgan's mouth turned up in a small, sour smile.
What's your story? I asked him.
I went to bed two nights ago. I woke up in Lafortier's private study in Edinburgh, with a lump on the back of my head and a bloody dagger in my hand. Simmons and Thorson burst into the room maybe 15 seconds later.
You were framed?
Thoroughly.
I exhaled a slow breath.
You got any proof? An alibi? Anything?
If I did, he said, I wouldn't have had to escape custody. Once I realized that someone had gone to a lot of effort to set me up to take the blame, I knew that my only chance,
he broke off, coughing,
was to find the real killer. I finished for him. I passed him the drink again, and he choked down a few sips, slowly relaxing. A few minutes later, he turned exhausted eyes to mine.
Are you going to turn me in?
I looked at him for a silent minute and then sighed.
It'd be a lot easier.
Yes, Morgan said.
You sure you were going down for it? Something in his expression became even more remote than usual. He nodded.
I've seen it often enough.
So I could leave you hanging out to dry?
You could.
But if I did that, we wouldn't find the traitor. And since you died in his place, he'd be free to continue operating. More people would get killed, and the next person he framed might be you, Morgan finished.
With my luck, I said glumly, no might about it. The brief, sour smile appeared on his face again.
They're using tracking spells to follow you, I said. I assume you've taken some kind of countermeasure, or they'd already be at the door.
He nodded. How long is it going to last?
48 hours, 60 at the most.
I nodded slowly, thinking. You're running a fever. I've got some medical supplies stashed. I'll get them for you. Hopefully we can keep it from getting any worse.
He nodded again, and then his sunken eyes closed. He'd run out of gas.
I watched him for a minute, then turned and started gathering up my things.
Keep an eye on him, boy, I said to Mouse.
The big dog settled down on the floor beside the bed. 48 hours. I had about 2 days to find the traitor within the White Council, something no one had been able to do during the past several years. After that, Morgan would be found, tried, and killed, and his accomplice, your friendly neighborhood Harry Dresden, would be next. Nothing motivates like a deadline, especially the literal kind.